What terrifying secret has someone told you while drunk? Story 1. I had a housemate in college who, several years prior, had accidentally shot and killed a friend of his in a hunting accident. He went to trial and was acquitted of all charges. Years later, he didn't tell me, but he told a woman I was involved with that it wasn't an accident. Years ago, when I worked at the Las Vegas Hilton in the main kitchen, I had a very high-strung boss named Hussein. He was from Turkey. We jokingly referred to him as insane because of his personality. One time after our shift ended, he grabbed a case of beer from the supply walk-in refrigerator and invited a few of us to help ourselves. He probably had 4 or 5 himself. He then proceeded to tell us that back in Turkey, he had kicked some guy's ass and came to the U.S. to get away. My co-workers and I didn't think much of it at the time. About a month later, we found out that while on vacation in Mexico, Hussein had been walking back to his hotel room after drinking at a bar. He ducked down an alley to relieve himself and was caught by a policeman. He was charged and convicted of public urination. At the time, the U.S. didn't have an extradition agreement with Turkey, but Mexico did. Turns out what Hussein had casually described as kicking someone's ass had actually been murder. He was extradited to Turkey, where we assume he spent the rest of his life in prison. The movie Midnight Express gives a pretty harrowing depiction of what life is like there. Story 2. A friend of mine died from a drug overdose. After the funeral, a mutual friend and I were drinking when he suddenly broke down crying. He asked me if I remembered the time he and our deceased friend had told me about an accident they witnessed, where they saw a truck driver die. I told him I did. Then he admitted something I'll never forget. He said that our friend had run up to the dying man and stolen his wedding ring, while the man could do nothing but look up at him, terrified. I knew they were deep into drugs, but I never thought they were capable of something like that. I grew up with them. They were like my brothers. Now, I don't think I fully trust anyone anymore. Story 3. My best friend disappeared for a while. Presumably, he left town. We were both in our mid-20s. He came back after a month or so, and he'd take me out every night, drinking and partying. I wondered how he was able to spend so much money on drugs and alcohol, but he wouldn't tell me. I saw him pay our tab one night, and he must have had $12,000 or $15,000 on him. After coming back to town, he basically stayed intoxicated at all times and wanted to hang out with me whenever he could. He'd come over to my place after the bars closed, and we'd often keep partying until morning. He would usually end up breaking down and crying about how he couldn't live with himself over something he had done. He wouldn't give details. Night after night, this kept happening until one evening, he broke down again and finally told me he had been paid a lot of money to do terrible things to dangerous people. He confessed that someone in his dad's gang had hired him to burn down a business over a money dispute. Then he admitted to something even worse. He said he had been given a handgun and a shotgun and was paid $10,000 for each person he eliminated. According to him, the targets were individuals suspected of harming children. More than 10 years later, I still don't know if I believe him or not. After he came back, he was so messed up and depressed. If he was telling the truth, it would explain a lot. He kept using drugs and drinking until about 5 years ago, when he had a heart attack at age 27. He quit everything after that, but the damage was done. 6 months later, he suffered another heart attack and passed away just days after his 28th birthday. He was the funniest and kindest person I've ever known, and I miss him. Story 4. At a family gathering, my grandma got a little tipsy and started telling stories from her childhood. She does this every time, whether tipsy or sober, so we thought nothing of it. But this time, the story took a dark turn. She told us about the reason she hates going to the dentist, especially when it involves drilling. She shared a memory from when she was 6 years old. During World War II, my family lived in Hamburg, Germany, right next to the harbor. In one terrible week in 1943, the city was bombed relentlessly. Over 35,000 people lost their lives, and more than 100,000 were injured. The houses that were hit mostly burned down, creating an enormous firestorm so intense that it not only pulled in oxygen, creating violent winds, but also dragged people into the flames. The heat was so extreme that those fleeing their burning homes became trapped in the molten asphalt of the streets. Many didn't survive. As all of this was happening around her, there was a particular smell that lingered in her neighborhood for over a week. She told us that the moment a dentist started drilling one of her teeth, she recognized the scent instantly. It was the same smell from that time, and she had to stop the procedure immediately. The story shook us to the core. It came out of nowhere, and even now it still sends chills down my spine. Story 5. One of my best friends since middle school opened up to me on our last day of high school. We had been partying all day. We got off at 10 a.m., but most people left around 3 p.m. to get ready for the senior dinner, the after party, and all that. My friend stayed behind with our class president. I told him I'd pick him up for the dinner and then left. When I came back, both of them were falling down drunk and in tears. A few years earlier, our class president had lost his father. On the way to my friend's house so he could get changed, he told me what had happened. After everyone else left, they kept drinking and eventually started talking about their dads. I had never met my friend's father. All I knew was that he had passed away. I never knew how. It turns out his dad was a lawyer or something similar in the country they were from and had been targeted by a gang for extortion. When money started to run out, his father sent the family to another country, telling them he would meet them there after taking care of some final matters. A few weeks after they moved, they found out he had been killed by the gang. It completely shattered my friend. We had always been heavy drinkers since high school. For me, it was just partying. For him, it was numbing the pain. When he told me this, it was a shock. It made me understand him so much more. Why he acted the way he did. Why he drank the way he did. Story 6. I shared an off-campus apartment with an older guy in college. He was a nurse. Woke up super early every morning for his shifts, and every night you could find him at his regular Irish pub. They let me drink there without an ID because they knew I was with him. Basically, he was a high-functioning alcoholic. One day I came home after finishing my exams. He brought out a bottle of Jameson to celebrate. It was about two-thirds full. After a few shots, he started telling me about his time in Vietnam. I had known him for 2 years, and he had never mentioned it before. I never asked either. I knew he was a veteran, but I had assumed he had been a nurse. Turns out I was way off. He had been in special forces. After a few more drinks, his entire demeanor changed. He started talking about going on covert operations and having to take people out, people who weren't soldiers. He said he still dreams about the faces of everyone he had killed. We ended up finishing the entire bottle that night. The next morning, he got up at 5 a.m. like nothing had happened and went off to work. Meanwhile, I spent the entire day suffering in bed, regretting every shot I had taken. Story 7. I had a boyfriend who never talked about his past. Ever. He spoke fondly of the state he used to live in, but only about the place itself, never about the people. If I tried to ask more, he would just brush it off and say, "Oh, well, it doesn't matter anymore." We were young. I was about 19, and he was probably 23 or so. He drank heavily all the time. But at that age, I just figured it was normal and all in good fun. One night, while completely intoxicated, he started talking about how much he loved going into the woods and playing by the rivers and streams back in his home state. Then his mood shifted. He got really sad and started rambling, his words slurring together. In between all the incoherent mumbling, I caught something about a friend showing up at his house while high on something. Meth, I think. He said they were all under the influence too. Then more babbling. And then I distinctly heard something about his friend getting shot in the face. More rambling. Then he mumbled something about that's why I can never go home again. He always seemed desperately sad whenever the topic of his past came up. You could tell he missed his home, but there was something haunting him. So yeah, I'm pretty sure he either accidentally or intentionally hurt someone and was on the run. My money is on accident because he seemed truly distraught. But then again, you never really know. And at 19, you barely know anyone or anything. I often wonder if he ever had to face those demons. Story 8. This will probably get lost, but here it goes. When I moved to the city I live in now, I found a roommate on Craigslist. It was 2011, so it wasn't as weird as it would be today. He seemed really cool. He had a nice place. A double master house, so I had plenty of privacy. He was a young real estate agent, and we ended up hanging out in the same social circles. We'll call him M. At some point, he caught feelings for a girl who was pretty close to me. When she didn't feel the same way, he started acting weird, almost resentful toward me, but I brushed it off. Over time, I realized M had a serious drinking problem. I'd get home from work around 1 a.m., and it wasn't uncommon to find him passed out on the couch after polishing off a cheap liter bottle of wine. One night, I got home earlier than usual. The lights were off, but I could see him sitting on the floor with his back against the couch, just staring into the dark. I asked if he was okay, and immediately I could tell he was emotionally wrecked. The nearly empty wine bottle was beside him. Then out of nowhere, he started talking.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
He told me that when he first moved to the city, he walked in on his girlfriend with another guy, and he shot and killed him. His girlfriend fled the state, and because it happened in a bad part of town, the police never looked into it too closely. He said he got away with it, but he thinks about it all the time. I made my exit as smoothly as I could, went upstairs, and quietly freaked out. The next morning, I saw him, and he casually asked me what time I had gotten home the night before. Said he didn't even hear me come in, which meant he had no recollection of telling me any of it. I had my dad help me move out the next week. I never mentioned it to him again. Story 9. My mother's first husband, the man who biologically fathered me. I was 16 when this happened. My mother had finally walked out that same day, and he got extremely drunk. That's when he told me something that changed everything. He said I was never supposed to have been born, that I should have died with my brother. I froze. What brother? I had no siblings. I asked him what he meant, and that's when he confessed. He told me that when my mother was pregnant, he had hurt her so badly that she ended up in the hospital. I survived. My twin brother didn't. At the time, my mother's English wasn't great. She's Polish, so he told the doctors she had fallen down the stairs. Then he threatened to have her deported if she ever told anyone. He even used me as leverage to keep her silent. Not long after, my mother contacted me, letting me know she had found a safe place to stay. I followed her. When I asked if there was anything I should know about my birth, she told me the exact same story. I guess that explains why. For as long as I can remember, I've always felt like something was missing. Like a part of me was never really there. Story 10. My mother once told me a story while she was drunk. Before I was born, she had been pregnant once before, but her boyfriend at the time wasn't ready for a child. Instead of leaving, he did something unthinkable. He hurt her so badly that she lost the baby. I had heard that part before, but what I didn't know was what happened afterward. She told me that for revenge, she had a friend, who was a prostitute, seduce him and take him to a hotel room. Once there, they tied him up. Then she described in unsettling detail how she took a baseball bat and shattered as many bones as she could. She even mentioned having to throw water on him to keep him awake. She was never charged with anything, so I assume he survived. She hasn't brought it up since, and I haven't asked. Story 11. My girlfriend at the time once confessed something that completely changed the way I saw our relationship. She told me that she only started dating me because I was a relatively big guy, and after experiencing a traumatic assault about a month before we met, she used me for protection. I already knew about what had happened to her, but I had no idea she had chosen to be with me for that reason. It explains so much about the struggles we had in our relationship. Apparently, after we made out at a party, word spread quickly, and overnight, every guy who had been pursuing her backed off. She realized that being with me, or at least making it look that way, meant she could feel safe. On one hand, I get it. I'm glad that, in some twisted way, I was able to help her heal, but realizing that the girl I had fallen in love with saw me as nothing more than a shield, that hurt like hell. Not long after, I found out she had been regularly flirting with other guys behind my back, knowing they wouldn't pursue her because of me. Eventually, she actually did cheat on me. I fell into a deep depression but couldn't tell anyone why. If that story had gotten out, it would have destroyed her in a way that went far beyond what would have been fair retaliation. So I kept quiet. Story 12. This was me, back when I was drunk, just after high school. I was at a small get-together with a few friends, obviously drinking and smoking. At the time, I wasn't on any medication, and I ended up having a bad trip. It put me in a really dark headspace. What no one knew was that I had previously attempted to take my own life. I had a rope burn on my neck and spent a week or two hiding it by shrugging my shoulders into my hoodie during classes. That night, I was surrounded by the people closest to me, and at some point, I put my hand on my best friend's shoulder and told him. The room went completely silent for about 2 seconds. Then he pulled me into a hug. Almost immediately, the rest of the boys turned it into a group hug. In that moment, I realized I wasn't suffering alone anymore. I had an entire circle of people who wanted to know what was going on with me, who actually cared, whether it was about something small, something big, or the mess in my head. Story 13. This didn't go unanswered, but I found out about it before the guy was arrested. I knew a guy in high school who got himself mixed up in one really bad decision. He ended up confessing it to me one day while we were skipping class. He showed up drunk, visibly panicked, and started pouring his heart out. The night before, he and two friends had gotten into an altercation with a guy at an apartment complex. They had all been drinking. At some point, things turned violent, and because it was three against one, the fight quickly spiraled out of control. According to him, the guy fell down some concrete stairs, hit his head, and didn't make it. At least that's what he told me. Later, I found out that was a complete lie. The truth was so much worse. The three of them panicked and realized what they had done. Instead of calling for help, they took the body to a garage and dismembered it. I wasn't given details, just that they stuffed the remains into trash bags with the plan to dump them in the river. I don't know how they got caught, whether someone turned them in or they made a mistake. But later that day, we returned to school and two police officers came into the cafeteria to arrest him. I never saw him again. For a while, he swore he was just an accessory. But when the truth finally came out, it turned out that not only was there never a three versus one fight, but there weren't even three people involved. It had been just him and one other guy, and there hadn't been a fight at all. They had straight up stabbed the victim to death. That realization completely messed me up. This guy had always been super chill, calm, collected, a genuinely nice person. We bonded over martial arts and used to spar all the time. I knew he could handle himself in a fight, so when he told me his original story, it made sense that something could have gone too far. But knowing that he had done what he actually did, it's one of the most messed up things anyone I personally knew has ever done. And that's saying something, considering my life. Years later, he tried to appeal his case. It was denied. There are news reports about what happened, but the details are all over the place. I grew up in a small town. Things like this just didn't happen. Sure, there was some gang activity, but not brutal, premeditated murders like this. Story 14. I once had a girl, who I had only met a couple of times, randomly confess something that left me completely speechless. She told me that she had purposely stopped taking birth control so she would get pregnant and trap her boyfriend into staying with her. She had found some texts between him and a friend where he had been talking about breaking up with her, so she made sure he couldn't. By the time she told me this, their child was already a year or two old, and they were engaged with the wedding coming up soon. I didn't know either of them well enough to say anything, so I told a mutual friend before I left that night. Apparently, that conversation didn't go as expected. The guy ended up thinking my friend was hitting on him, even though she was literally there with her own boyfriend. She left the party immediately, and nothing more came of it. The couple got married, and then, eventually, they got divorced. Story 15. My mom wasn't drunk when she said it, but she was angrier and more hurt than I had ever seen her. And she was hurt because I had broken her trust again. But I'll never forget the words she said to me. This happens in the best families. Sometimes kids are just failures that can't be fixed. I don't know if she even remembers saying it, but it still hurts every time I think about it. I've never told anyone, not even my best friend, but I needed to talk about it somehow, so I'm sharing it here. To everyone else who has shared painful stories, I hope you're feeling better now. Story 16. I once had a girlfriend, beautiful, someone I truly loved, get really drunk and tell me that she wished I were more handsome. She said I was ugly, but that if I looked better, I'd be perfect. For what it's worth, I don't think I'm a bad-looking guy. I've never considered myself attractive, but hearing that from someone I cared about was brutal. I usually have a quick comeback when I feel offended, but that time I just froze. It hurt too much. I wanted to cry. Looking back, the real question is, why was my self-esteem so low that I put up with it? Life had already beaten me down, and I guess I didn't think I deserved better. A couple of weeks later, I brought up what she had said. She told me she didn't really mean it, but I knew she did, in vino veritas and all that. So I finally said what I wished I had said that night. I get where you're coming from. I'd love to be more handsome too, but you should keep one thing in mind. If I were any better looking than I am, I would never, ever, ever, ever have settled for you. She looked like she had been slapped. At the time, she lived in Cuba and I lived in Costa Rica. We had a long-distance relationship, 1 month together, 1 month apart. About a year later, I called her from Costa Rica, as I always did on Mondays when I wasn't in Havana. That time, she told me to call back on Friday because she had a big surprise for me. I assumed it was something good. Maybe she had finally arranged for a passport and was moving to Costa Rica so we could finally be together. When I called on Friday, her mother answered the phone. She was fond of me. I had been sending medicine to her family for years, keeping my girlfriend's grandmother alive when she couldn't get the medication she needed in Cuba. Every time I visited, my suitcases looked like a disaster relief shipment. But that night, her mother could barely speak. She handed the phone to her husband, who took a deep breath and finally told me the truth. The day before, she had taken all the money from the sale of a house I had bought in Havana for us and ran off with her boyfriend to South America. That was her surprise. It was pure, deliberate cruelty. It crushed me at the time. But years later, I'm actually glad to be rid of that toxic parasite. Last I heard of her, she's 42 now, still pretending she's 30, trying to hold on to her fading looks, wearing the same sequined mini dresses that once looked stunning, but now just make her look ridiculous. Struggling to make it as a third-rate lounge singer in rundown hotel bars in the sketchiest parts of Miami. I know it's not much of a story, but I feel better getting it off my chest. People don't put up with those who say hurtful things. It brings out the worst in you, and more importantly, people who say hurtful things will always do terrible things too. Story 17. I grew up in the South where a lot of people would say terrible things when they were drunk. It usually started with an edgy joke early in the night, and if I didn't react, they'd feel safe enough to start openly complaining about certain groups of people later. One of the most memorable times this happened, it completely backfired on someone. I was at a Halloween party that also had a punk show going on, and there were a lot of skinheads there. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but there are non-racist skinheads called traditional skinheads. They actually hate the ones who align with hateful ideologies because it gives them all a bad reputation. One guy at the party, who clearly didn't understand this distinction, decided to say something awful to a black attendee and then squared up like he was ready to fight. Immediately, four or five skinheads knocked him into a corner and beat the hell out of him. The funniest part, though, was what happened after the fight. The guy got in his car to leave, but he had left his shirt behind. Someone from the party ran out to bring it to him. He rolled his window down to take it and got one last punch to the face as a going-away present. Story 18. I once had a friend of my brother's who would always overshare when she was drunk. She had a habit of going into disturbing detail about her personal life, talking about how she had a addiction, how she was a nymphomaniac, and how she never usually told people these things. Except she did every single time I hung out with them. The weirdest part? She never remembered me. Every time she would act like we had never met before. If I tried to say I already knew the story, she'd brush it off, saying, "No, we've never met. I would remember if we had." I was too young at the time and had been taught not to be rude, so I just sat there awkwardly and let her ramble. But honestly, it terrified me. Story 19. One night, my ex-roommate came home drunk and started ranting about how she couldn't bring her boyfriend over because of our nosy landlord downstairs. I casually asked, "Why don't you just go to his place instead?" Without hesitating, she blurted out, "He's married." Then she went into full detail about how he was an older, overweight guy who worked at the same hospital as her and how they would sneak around and meet up in empty hospital rooms. At the time, she was about 25 and had recently gone through a divorce. She had been with her ex-husband since high school, and I don't think she would have gotten involved in something like that if she hadn't been so emotionally wrecked from everything. Story 20. I was at a party in 2010 where a guy was randomly and repeatedly stabbed, suffering severe injuries. They called it life-altering. I heard he has to use a colostomy bag now. I think he can still walk. In 2014, I was at a bar drinking with a friend and some other guys I only knew in passing. One of them, who was very drunk by that point, I remember he had already said some things earlier that made me think, "This guy's definitely more drunk than he should be," started talking about that party in 2010. He claimed it was a case of mistaken identity and that, from what he had heard, I was actually the intended target that night. I don't think he was lying because, A, he said he was at the party, and that's an easily verifiable fact, so there'd be no point in lying about it. B, I'm sure he was friends with those types of people at the time. and C, around the same period, there was another incident where someone showed up at a place I used to frequent, asking for me by name in a way that unsettled the people there. Edit. I just realized I didn't explain why someone would supposedly want to kill me. According to the guy who told me, it was likely because I had a falling out with a friend back then. It was a weird situation. He was jealous because I had become close with another guy, the one I was drinking with at the bar, and he was kind of getting pushed out of the friend group. At one point, he and my other friend got into a fight, and he got his ass thoroughly beaten. It was embarrassing for him, and I didn't defend him or intervene, because he deserved it. He had made a disgusting joke about having ass with an underage girl. I think that was part of why he was so angry with me personally. Before all that, we had actually been really good friends. Last I heard, he moved to Jamaica and was killed. But that might not be true. Story 21. I originally shared this as a reply to someone commenting about their experience reliving a murder on a hike. But here it is. I have a similar story about a man I was dating who confessed to killing someone in a bathroom at a rest stop in New York when he was a teenager. He used a lead pipe, some sort of retaliation for a friend or something like that. There was a whole group of guys involved, but he was the one who actually did it. I was equally freaked out and tried to be understanding and sympathetic at the time because he seemed genuinely shaken up about it. That's where our stories differ. The person in yours was reliving and enjoying it, while mine seemed remorseful. But still, I got the hell out of that relationship as fast as I could. I didn't want to be involved in any way with someone who had that kind of history lurking just beneath the surface. We had only been together for a few weeks when he told me. Story 22. Not drunk, but high on acid, my friend got super talkative and honest. He went to the local red light district to do a bit of window shopping. On this particular occasion, he decided he wanted to hire a young lady, so he picked one out and brought her back to a hotel room. They got down to business, and that's when he discovered something unexpected. Under her skirt, there was a penis. She hadn't told him about it. He was surprised, but figured since he had already paid, he might as well continue. At some point during the encounter, the young lady or gentleman put a finger up my friend's backside, accidentally losing a very sharp fingernail in the process, which resulted in an anal fissure. He had to go to the hospital where they gave him one of those soft rings to sit on. He told everyone it was a sports injury. Story 23. I woke up one night to gunshots in the house when I was a small kid. I was terrified and hid. The next morning, I saw 3 bullet holes in my door and through my wall. I asked my parents about the noise from the night before, but both insisted that nothing had happened. When I took them to my room and showed them the holes, they just said, "It's always been like that, honey." So I thought maybe I had imagined everything. About 5 years later, my now stepmom drunkenly told me about a fight she and my dad had about having guns in the house. She had been trying to prove a point, how dangerous they were. She was very drunk that night, broke into the gun safe with a crowbar, found the ammo, and fired 3 shots into my room to demonstrate how easily someone could be killed by having a gun in the house. She insisted that if she could do it, obviously a small child could too. To prove her point, she had broken the lock on the shed to get the crowbar, pried open a cheap gun safe, smashed open a locked plastic box where the gun was stored, forced open a filing cabinet, found a hidden compartment in the back, emptied it, grabbed the bullets, loaded the gun, walked to my room and fired 3 shots. At small child height, and she swore it was all to prove how dangerous guns could be. I haven't spoken to her since she confessed that to me. Story 24. I was in law enforcement, dating someone in a different agency. I worked in the city, he was county and had some rank. It was deep south, backwater. I had family staying with me for a wedding when he stopped by one night, drunk and agitated, with his sidearm on him. That was out of character for him. One of my guest's boyfriends was a police chief from a major northern city, and he defused the situation, made him remove his gun, and had me walk him home since he lived just one street over. When I got him home, he asked me to stay and talk. I didn't really want to. I had people waiting for me, but he was really out of his mind. Long story short, he confessed that he had killed someone back home. He said he was out hunting with his dad when they got into an argument with another hunter, and he shot the man. He explained the whole Upper and Lower Peninsula thing to me. I had never left our backwater coastal town, so I had no idea what he was talking about. He told me his dad was the police chief in their town, and that was why he ended up in Backwater instead of closer to a major city. He was upset about the cover-up, thinking about the victim's family and whether they still wondered about their missing loved one. I ran home and told my police chief friend. We called the state police from that state and reported it anonymously. I didn't trust my own department. They were corrupt, and I was already fighting battles every day. I was in the middle of a major investigation at the time and was worried about my safety. So, an anonymous tip it was. It took the state police about 2 days to find me. My chief friend got involved, explaining the guy's state of mind, how he was drunk and waving his sidearm. That's when the real harassment began. Suddenly, my phone number and the numbers of all my family members were given out. People called my mom, telling her things about me. No matter where I parked, even outside county limits, cops would run my plates over the radio, ask for my home address and name, and then instruct dispatch to note my location. Everyone always knew where I was. A few friends tried to get the sheriff to back off, but it never got better. I won't lie, I sank pretty low. I tried to sabotage a few careers with the information I had. I'm not proud of that, but eventually I gave up. I packed my little car and drove far away, never to work in law enforcement again. And the killer cop. The state police said they matched up a few possibilities, but his father, the police chief, had airtight alibis for each time frame, all backed by officers under his command. The guy ended up moving to a larger city near Backwater, probably an exemplary officer now. I visit home sometimes and run into old co-workers, people who never stood up for me. I pretend I don't even know them. My former boss, who played a key role in getting me fired, had a slow fall from grace before he died. Once someone called him to verify my employment, and he apparently said a ton of foul, offensive things about me. Not quite the sweet old guy who recruited me back when he taught at the academy. I'm not angry. If I had stayed in law enforcement, it probably would have killed me. I was already taking things too hard. I would have married a cop or firefighter, looked forward to date nights at Applebee's, and had a dull life. I would have never left Backwater. I would have never known what was out there for me. But a murderer and a whole police department that helped cover it up still walk free. Not to mention the dozen or so cops, deputies, and others who harassed me until I left. Maybe one day I'll write a book. Our tiny department had so much corruption, and some of the crimes that happened while I was there made national headlines. The internal investigations alone could fill chapters. Story 25. I had a really close friend and roommate who was troubled, but he was an amazing guy. He had spent a good portion of his 20s in the Army, then followed the Grateful Dead for a while, and eventually ended up in architecture school. That's where I met him. He had a weird, flaring temper that you'd only notice maybe once a year. Otherwise, he was a great guy. One night, around 3 a.m., we were hanging out on our rooftop after a night out, just vibing. The weather was unusually nice for that time of night, and we had an incredible view. We were fairly lit, and at some point, the conversation took a turn. From what I could piece together back in high school, or shortly after, he had been drunk racing his car with a girl in the passenger seat. He wrapped the car around a tree. He walked away. She didn't. That seemed to be the event that sent him drifting. Through the Army, through following the dead, through most of his 20s, I was never 100% sure of the whole story, and we never talked about it again. Eventually, we fell out of contact. Story 26. When she was blackout drunk, my then best friend admitted that she had cheated on her absent husband, right after telling him they needed to separate, with a guy she'd only met once. That, along with all her other bullsh, was the tipping point in our friendship. She would also dump her kid on me in the middle of the night without warning, just so she could leave to hook up with random guys and get drunk. She constantly blamed her own shortcomings on me and gaslighted me every step of the way. It was a miserable 6 months, honestly. The final nail in the coffin was when she got back with her spag husband and tried to keep using me. That's what ultimately ended our friendship. Anyway, Emily, if you ever see this post, F you, you're a B. Story 27. I was in Peru, hanging out at an art show late at night. One of the guys I was talking to was a 17-year-old from Hamburg, Germany. We were all pretty knackered. I asked him what he was doing in Peru. I was there doing research for a book. He told me he was in hiding. He had to leave Germany. A year ago, he had been participating in a protest, throwing rocks at riot police. People were handing him rocks, and he was just chucking them. Then someone handed him a lit Molotov cocktail. Without thinking, he threw it. It landed in a police car and burned two officers alive. As penance, he decided to dedicate the rest of his life to learning how to become a shaman or medicine man to help others. His story still sticks with me. Story 28. Not terrifying or anything, but it was interesting how accidental it was. I was splitting a cab with a guy who was drunk texting someone, his crush. He kept saying how in love he was and how he didn't want to mess it up. I tried to take his phone, told him I'd hold on to it for him while we were in the cab. He handed it over and passed out. That's when I saw who he was texting. I was confused for a second. Then it hit me. He was gay. No one knew. But he was so drunk that he didn't realize what he had done. I kept the phone, gave it back to him when we got to our place, and never mentioned it again. I don't even think he knows that I know. 6 years later, he's still straight, at least publicly. Story 29. A longtime friend of mine had been dating this girl for about 6 months. After a party one night, she told me and my roommate that she thought he was a great guy and really enjoyed being around him. But she just wasn't surely attracted to him. She said she was planning to break up with him the next day. About an hour later, around 6 a.m., my friend woke up and came downstairs all happy and smiling, completely unaware of what was about to happen. My roommate and I just dipped off to bed so they could talk. As I walked past him, I really wanted to say something, to warn him, but I couldn't think of anything. Story 30. I came home from the bar after meeting a few friends for dinner and drinks. At the time, I was living with my grandparents after college to help out since my grandma was bedridden and not doing well. I was grabbing a beer in the kitchen when my grandpa caught me and decided to join. We had some general back and forth conversation and quite a few drinks. I don't remember how we got on the topic, but at some point, he started talking about his time in Vietnam. He had been a tank operator and instructor. He told me about a guy who came through his training course who was clearly not cut out for war. He and the others in the course decided the best way to get him out of the situation was to drop a 300-pound piece of armor plating on his legs, just enough to get him a medical discharge and sent back to the States. Story 31. We run a fairly large adult entertainment business and have been doing it successfully for years. My parents never knew the full details. We're big on discretion. Then about 3 years ago, my dad called me out of the blue, absolutely freaking out, accusing us of lying to him, which we hadn't. He called my siblings, but they just laughed at him because they had already known for years and didn't think it was a big deal. The thing is, this all started as a side business when my wife was a fetish artist and model. After a few years, she stopped modeling to help full-time with managing models, payroll, accounting, tax assistance, you name it. But back when she was active, there were clips and images of her all over the internet. Some we had never bothered scrubbing, and some we couldn't take down even if we wanted to. For the next 6 months, my dad made asinine threats about taking our kids away and was generally an asshole about the whole thing. Eventually, I agreed to go on a weekend trip with him to talk things over and try to normalize our relationship. That's when it got worse. During dinner, he got drunk and started confessing that he had spent a lot of time hunting down everything he could find of my wife's past work online. Not only that, but he had gleefully shared it with his Facebook group of MAGA hat-wearing assholes, caught somewhere between bragging and throwing a pity party for himself. In short, my dad and his little circle of friends had been knowingly using my wife's old content for their spank bank. It took everything in me not to knock his ass out right then and there. I spent the better part of an hour mentally preparing a sucker punch while he just kept rambling on. I backed off because it was a crowded restaurant, and to everyone else, it would just look like some enraged guy attacking an old man. 3 years later, and things are still not back to normal. I've never been so disappointed in my life. He lost any moral high ground he ever thought he had. Story 32. My dad and I have always had a tense and distant relationship. I grew up with my mom and stepdad, and I have a half-sister through my dad. Neither of us are close with him now. Last August, I called him to wish him a happy birthday. He answered the phone extremely drunk, slurring his words and barely making sense. I was pregnant at the time, and I said something along the lines of, "Next time we see you, you'll have a granddaughter." Something about that just made him snap. He started rambling about how he had been a terrible father, how my sister wanted nothing to do with him, how he regretted being a bad husband to both our moms. He said if he had been more involved in our lives, maybe his daughters wouldn't hate him now. I tried to tell him I never hated him, but he just yelled over me. Then he started mumbling, and I could barely understand him. But the one thing I did hear clearly was, Neither of you would care if I died. I should just die. Then he hung up on me. I tried calling him back, but he didn't answer. I ended up texting him, saying I didn't mean to upset him. I only wanted to tell him happy birthday and that I loved him. A couple of days later, I texted again. He responded like nothing had ever happened. Story 33. My old roommate spent an entire night passionately trying to convince me that his girlfriend was in no way even remotely physically attractive to him or anyone. He insisted she was hard to look at. I was sober and tried to be diplomatic, saying things like, "Everyone is beautiful in their own way." But he was relentless, making it absolutely clear that there wasn't a single aspect of her he found appealing. This was the night before she was moving to Canada to join him, and I was the one picking her up at the airport. They had dated for about a year before he moved to Canada, a few months ahead of her. He and others who knew her back home constantly talked about how loud, annoying, and, to put it bluntly, not smart she was. I knew way too much about what he didn't like about her and nothing about what he actually did like, but somehow they seemed to have a genuine connection. Before she moved, I tried to stick up for her, or at least neutralize the bad-mouthing. I got constant warnings about how living with her would be hell, and every time her boyfriend left the room, people would start ranting about how unbearable she was. They were right. She was nonstop horrible and seemed completely unaware, or just didn't care, that no one around her could stand her. She believed she was a social butterfly, inserting herself into everything, no matter how obvious it was that she was disliked. The Irish immigrant community in our city tolerated her, but only because they loved complaining about her. It was almost like they kept her around just to have a constant source of gossip. Plus, she took care of all the event planning and admin work, so it was a win-win for them. Eventually, I realized how toxic they all were and moved on with my life. Also, she used to go into my room and go through my laundry without a second thought. But the one time I closed the window in her room during a storm because they weren't home, she lost her mind, without even acknowledging how often she invaded my space. Story 34. My crush and best friend for about a year, and I got drunk after I went through a messy breakup. I had literally spent $100 on alcohol at the bar for us. Later that night, we ended up at a party, and he was hugging me, telling me that he knew his best friend had raped me. 7 months before this, I had gone to visit his best friend because he promised I'd get to record a song in a real studio. He was a musician, and I'm a singer, so of course, I jumped at the chance. But when I got there, I was lied to and then raped brutally by this guy. I never told anyone because all my friends loved him. I knew no one would believe that someone as flirty as me could be raped. So there I was, standing at this party, and the guy I had feelings for just casually tells me that he knows. And then he says, "It's just a guy thing. You wouldn't understand." He knew I had been raped. He even used the word rape. And still, he tried to justify it. I called an Uber and never spoke to him again. Story 35. My grandmother survived the Holocaust, and while she was sober, she would sometimes tell me about her experience. The stories were mostly about starvation and how she was taken from her home. I think she told me these things to make sure I understood that the world isn't all sunshine and rainbows, which in the long run helped shape my perspective. But one night, during a family get-together when I was older, she got drunk. She pulled me aside and told me the real stories, the dark ones. She had two older brothers, twins, who were subjected to Josef Mengele's horrific experiments in Auschwitz. She told me that she had to clean the room where they were murdered. She had to help put their bodies into a pit. My babushka then admitted that she can't look at my twin cousins, two boys, because they remind her of her dead brothers. Whenever she sees them, all she can picture are her brothers' corpses, their lifeless eyes. She remembers the smell. She remembers their blood on her hands. I feel such deep sorrow for her. She was so young and had to survive things no person should ever endure. Until that night, I hadn't even known about the twin experiments. That conversation changed everything for me. Story 36. I was out with a friend for his 21st birthday. He got wasted at the bar, but I stayed sober since I was the designated driver. Later that night, when we were alone, he admitted to me that he was a pedophile. He said he had never touched a child and never would, but that it was extremely difficult for him and he was deeply depressed about it. The next morning, after he sobered up, I brought it up again. He looked at me and said, "All right, I'll leave. Just please don't tell my mom." I told him it wasn't his fault that he was like that, but that we should try to find him some help. 4 months later, we're still best friends. He's on medication that reduces his S drive, and he's in therapy. Honestly, it's kind of crazy how the second someone admits to being a pedophile, people immediately disown them, even if they have never harmed a child. It's not their fault they have those thoughts. The only thing that matters is what they do with them. Story 37. My friend was blacked out, and I was very drunk. We were talking about how male friends can be creepy sometimes. Nothing too heavy, just the usual complaints about them hitting on us and making things uncomfortable. Then she said, "Yeah, listen to this." 2 weeks earlier, she had gone out drinking with some of her male friends. She has a boyfriend. She also happened to be on her period that night. She got very drunk, and the last thing she remembered was telling one of her male friends over and over that she didn't want to hook up, pushing him off of her. She woke up the next morning in his bed with her pants off. He swore they didn't have S, but she also realized something weird. Her tampon was gone. It unsettled her, but she shrugged it off and went home. Later, she found the tampon that had been in her, shoved so far up inside her in a position that didn't make sense. Now, how could that have happened? This was one of her best guy friends. She never brought it up with him again. She didn't tell her boyfriend. I don't think she told anyone else. I did not expect our conversation that night to take that turn. Story 38. One of my closest friends got drunk and stoned one night and started telling me how she wanted to kill herself. The only reason she hadn't, she said, was because she was told it wouldn't be fair to her family. She said she didn't care about her grades. Only her parents did, because her older brother had already failed at school. She told me that when she and her brother were kids, they used to get beaten. That's why, she said, her brother was so messed up. She was born in a country where corporal punishment was considered normal. I was 14 at the time. I didn't really know what to say. I was always friends with older people in high school, but this was beyond anything I had ever dealt with before. The only thing I could say was that this nightmare would get better, that when she finished school, she could move out, and things wouldn't always be this way. That night changed me. I promised myself I would never get drunk. Story 39. I've always been a pretty weird kid. I was shy, struggled to make friends, and even when I tried my best, I always seemed to ruin it without realizing why. I didn't have much support. When I was 10 in sixth grade, we moved from California to Nebraska. It was a huge change. I had already been through a lot of trauma in my childhood, but my mom acted like none of it affected me. Like just because we moved and I was still young, I was fine. I wasn't. One night, after a family gathering at her boyfriend's house, my mom got drunk. That's when she told me that she wished I was a different kid. She kept asking why I had to be the way I was. I already hated myself. So hearing that from her, it stung a lot. I snapped at her. Her boyfriend told me I should be kinder to her because she was drunk. I ignored him. Even now, I still hold it against myself. Story 40. My friend was blacked out, and I was very drunk. We were talking about how male friends can be creepy sometimes. Nothing too heavy, just the usual complaints about them hitting on us and making things uncomfortable. Then she said, "Yeah, listen to this." 2 weeks earlier, she had gone out drinking with some of her male friends. She has a boyfriend. She also happened to be on her period that night. She got very drunk, and the last thing she remembered was telling one of her male friends over and over that she didn't want to hook up, pushing him off of her. She woke up the next morning in his bed with her pants off. He swore they didn't have S, but she also realized something weird. Her tampon was gone. It unsettled her, but she shrugged it off and went home. Later, she found the tampon that had been in her, shoved so far up inside her, in a position that didn't make sense. Now, how could that have happened? This was one of her best guy friends. She never brought it up with him again. She didn't tell her boyfriend. I don't think she told anyone else. I did not expect our conversation that night to take that turn. Story 41. One of my closest friends got drunk and stoned one night and started telling me how she wanted to kill herself. The only reason she hadn't, she said, was because she was told it wouldn't be fair to her family. She said she didn't care about her grades. Only her parents did, because her older brother had already failed at school. She told me that when she and her brother were kids, they used to get beaten. That's why, she said, her brother was so messed up. She was born in a country where corporal punishment was considered normal. I was 14 at the time. I didn't really know what to say. I was always friends with older people in high school, but this was beyond anything I had ever dealt with before. The only thing I could say was that this nightmare would get better, that when she finished school, she could move out, and things wouldn't always be this way. That night changed me. I promised myself I would never get drunk. Story 42. I've always been a pretty weird kid. I was shy, struggled to make friends, and even when I tried my best, I always seemed to ruin it without realizing why. I didn't have much support. When I was 10 in sixth grade, we moved from California to Nebraska. It was a huge change. I had already been through a lot of trauma in my childhood, but my mom acted like none of it affected me. Like just because we moved and I was still young, I was fine. I wasn't. One night after a family gathering at her boyfriend's house, my mom got drunk. That's when she told me that she wished I was a different kid. She kept asking why I had to be the way I was. I already hated myself. So hearing that from her, it stung. A lot. I snapped at her. Her boyfriend told me I should be kinder to her because she was drunk. I ignored him. Even now, I still hold it against myself. Story 43. I was drunkenly playing Halo with my college roommate one night. We went to a Catholic college, and from the outside, he seemed happy. He had a stable relationship with a nice girl, always cracking jokes, always making people laugh. That night, we had probably 9 or 10 shots of vodka, and out of nowhere, he just started crying. Then he admitted that he hated himself. For years, he had felt uncomfortable with his gender. Since childhood, he had battled with it, to the point of multiple suicide attempts. Once he had even tried talking to his parents about it. They berated him, told him he was a sinner, and threatened to cut him off financially unless he agreed to attend a Catholic college, so they could set him right. He picked our college because it was 4 hours from home. It let him stay on campus over breaks and avoid his family. But no matter how much distance he put between them, he was still chasing their love, still trying to live the lie they wanted for him. Everyone thought he was the happiest guy in the room, always joking, always bringing people up. But that night, I saw the truth. By the next day, when he sobered up, he didn't acknowledge any of it. I tried to talk to him, but he just played dumb and went back to his usual cheery self, like nothing had ever happened. Last I heard, he got married, then divorced 2 years later. I hope he's okay. Story 44. Not exactly a personal confession, but close. By sheer chance, I ran into my now ex-wife's brother at a bar while I was out of town for business. Turns out he was in town for the same reason. We had never been particularly close, but after a few drinks, he started getting really friendly, showering me with compliments, telling me what a good guy I was. Then he said something that caught me completely off guard. "You deserve better." I laughed it off at first and said, "What? She's your sister." That's when he reluctantly admitted that she had only stayed with me for the money and that she had been seeing one of my distant co-workers behind my back. At the time, our marriage wasn't going great. We had started counseling about 3 months before this, trying to work things out. I wanted to believe it wasn't true, but then she skipped 3 straight weeks of our counseling sessions, leaving me sitting in the lobby like an idiot, waiting for her to show up. That's when I finally started digging. And by digging, I mean I went straight to the guy and asked him. He admitted to it. I divorced her as fast as I could. And even though the court knew about her infidelity, and she admitted to it, I still got stuck with all her bills. Years later, though, I'm still grateful her brother told me. If we hadn't randomly ended up at the same bar, and if he hadn't been drunk enough to spill the truth, how long could I have suffered in that relationship? Story 45. A guy, who used to be my husband's friend, once told me something horrifying while completely wasted, and he laughed about it. 35 years ago, he had raped a disabled girl, more than once. He told me he had caught her alone and knew no one would believe her because of her disability, so he took advantage of that. He even admitted that, long after the assaults, he would hang around the small store where her parents shopped, just so she would see him. He liked the power he had over her, even after the rape. He is a pig. She was institutionalized for a while because she started acting out around certain people, and her parents were afraid she would hurt herself or others. They didn't know what had happened to her. She couldn't speak. She was also deaf. Her parents have since passed, and she now lives in a group home. Meanwhile, he is still prominent in town. No one would believe it if they heard this now. He's too careful about maintaining a good reputation. He's buried his past so well that I don't think the public would ever believe it. It's been too long, My husband and I cut him out of our lives completely. We want nothing to do with him. Story 46. A Vietnam vet who was a regular at the pub where my flatmate worked once told me about the time he dropped LSD a few months after coming back from the war, back when it was still called shell shock. He had gone on a 3-day acid bender. At some point during the trip, he distinctly remembered a little gook girl with a canteen and a bomb strapped to her back coming straight for him, either to kill him or to set him up for an ambush. Instinct kicked in. He used a bayonet to kill her to save his buddies. Then he came to, sobering up in the back alley of a hotel that was scheduled for demolition. He thought it had all been a terrible dream. Until he read the paper. A young kid in the same suburb had disappeared that night. They were never...
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Found. He never knew what really happened. But that was when he started drinking. Story 47. I'm a bartender, so I hear a fair amount of drunk confessions. But the worst one, the one that still haunts me, was from a woman who was going through a custody battle. She was at risk of losing her kids. She was an alcoholic with severe mental health issues, none of which she was willing to address. She had been caught multiple times trying to pick up her kids while drunk. Sometimes she would leave them alone just to go to the bar. That night, she tried to explain her plan to me. If the custody hearing didn't go her way, she was going to kill her children, then herself. They'll be better off dead than living with their father. I had no idea what to do. I called a friend who works in mental health, and she told me to file a report with the police. So that's what I did. The next morning, detectives went to talk to her, and she told them the same thing she had told me. After that, we 86'd her from the bar. Some people who kept in touch with her later told me that she did lose custody of her kids, but she kept drinking, kept spiraling. She even showed up in the local police blotter a few times. Story 48. The day my husband deployed a few years ago, I threw a literal pity party and invited my new neighbors, NN, and a few friends over. It was just supposed to be a way to distract myself. The next morning, I woke up wet, naked, and completely confused. My clothes were scattered on the stairs, and outside I found 3 open packs of cigarettes. Apparently, I kept getting new packs every time I went out to smoke. The last thing I remembered was around 9:30 p.m., when I spilled vodka and slurped it off the counter. Then, nothing. I called my friends. No answer. That's when I started panicking. Did I get naked on the stairs while everyone was still there? Did I say something offensive? Had I done something really bad? It took almost 8 hours before anyone called me back and filled me in on what I had missed. Turns out I hadn't done anything too off color, but my new neighbor, she definitely had. At some point during the night, she drunkenly confessed that she had run someone over. She was 16 at the time, hugely pregnant with her first child. Her baby daddy, BD, was about to ship off to basic training and cheated on her before he left. The other woman, OW, had been running around their small town, bragging about it. Typical teenage drama. One day, shortly after BD left, NN was driving her mom's truck around town when she spotted OW walking down the street. She rolled down the window to flip her off, and OW responded with something like, "Yeah, I fucked your man." NN snapped. She ran her over, then backed over her, and then ran over her again just to make sure. Then she drove off like nothing happened. When she got home, she told her mom she had hit a dog. Her mom cleaned up the truck, got the damage repaired, and that was the end of it, except Al survived. She was in a coma for 2 months, and when she woke up, she pointed the finger directly at NN. But by then, there was no evidence. The truck wasn't hers, and the damage had already been fixed. NN got off completely scot-free. After my friend finished telling me all this, I had a horrifying realization. I lived next door to this woman, and I had no idea what I might have said to her while I was blackout drunk. Luckily, drunk me is apparently pretty chill. Instead of freaking out, I cheered her on and ended the conversation with, "Serves the boring right." Story 49. I was drinking with someone who told me about a war experience in Afghanistan. His outpost was up on a mountainside, protecting a village below. One day, the enemy launched an attack from a ridgeline near the village. During the chaos, one of the Marines was shot and started bleeding out inside the outpost. The guy I was drinking with said he just snapped. He went berserk, firing at anything that moved, including villagers. He said he was laughing as women and children were being hit. He told me he saw a demon, metaphorically, I assume. Honestly, I didn't blame him. I figure anyone could go crazy in that situation. What stuck with me most was the fact that he trusted me enough to tell that story. Probably helped that I'm so emotionally repressed that I come off as cold. People usually don't realize how lame I am until they've known me a little longer.